Some of the information you are about to hear, some may find disturbing.
What police found in the soil was this. 7 bodies wrapped up in sheets and duct tape.
They had to drink each other's blood.
Okay, you're not making this shit up, right?
Welcome to 2 Guys, 1 Crime.
We'll do the intro. Make the intro the recording of us trying to figure out what we're going to do to say.
I don't know if I recorded that part.
Oh, you don't know?
No, I don't think so. Well, fuck it. We're trying to figure out. Well, this is our intro, now. There you go.
Yeah. So we're working on an intro. So the intro, we're changing it up. Now you're going to have to imagine before we. Jim puts a track to the back of this. It's gonna be holy shit. What did I totally forgot remember, what we came to the conclusion was.
I think it was I have it.
Welcome to the podcast where two guys tell one crime.
At a time. Ah, there we go. Time. That's what it is. This is the podcast where a father and a son talk true crime and everything else. We're two guys telling one crime. Before we get started with our story. Head over to our Flow page. There you can link up with us. Flow.page/2guys1crime. There you can find all of our links from Instagram, Twitter, Twitch even. We are going to be going live a little more often. But this episode is pretty cool. The crime in which we talk about is not necessarily a
crime.
Yeah, nowadays. It's not really even a crime. Yeah, exactly. It's more of like a... I don't even know how to describe it. It's not a crime at all. It's just something that you do personally.
It's a reflection. She's reflecting.
That's all it is.
What they call it's journaling. She's just journaling.
Yeah. That was the crime. Journaling.
Yeah.
So hope everybody enjoys it. And please, like I said, give us a follow. If you want to come interact with us on Twitch, we'll be doing that a little more frequently. We'll set up some dates to interact with everybody and talk with everybody. If you are new here, hello. Thank you for stopping by. If you are coming back, welcome back. This is 2 Guys, 1 Crime, where 2 guys tell you a story about one crime. We don't know what the story is going to be about until we start telling each other the story. This is a father and son podcast. We talk mainly about true crime. We also talk about ghosts, sometimes aliens, and sometimes other things. Today, we are going to talk about a historical crime, one that a lot of people know, but may not know the person behind this story.
Historical crime? Isn't that like a oxymoron?
I guess, well, I don't know, probably. Now, this person was not the one committing the crime. It is a female. She was just at the forefront of handling business, let's just say.
Nice. Liberation.
Exactly. Before we get started, though, how is everything on your end of the Bay Area?
Well, so far in the Bay Area alone. Well, let's see.
Well, with you. No. Just with you.
Today, I'm good. I'm actually pretty good today. My back's not killing me as much. Ever since we went to your house over the weekend, I slept on the floor.
Yeah.
It totally adjusted. I know it sounds silly. I know you have, we can afford a hotel, guys. That's not the point. I had a bad sciatic spasm.
Yeah, no, he could barely move.
Yeah, I couldn't stand up. I couldn't lift myself up. It took a lot for me just to sit. But when I got to his house, threw some blankets and some sheets on the ground and a couple pillows. Once I laid down flat, my lower vertebrae instantly adjusted.
Really?
Instantly. Yeah. I was so out of adjust, but the pain was still there. The nerve, the sciatic, the pinch was still there, but my vertebrae, my lower back instantly adjusted.
Damn.
Until the next morning. And ever since then, now I'm good. I can get in and out of my bed.
Jeez.
The only thing I can't do is like bend down or cross my leg right now. I have a hip issue anyway. I can't cross my left leg over my right leg or pick it up above my waist.
Damn. So is this what I'm supposed to expect when I get your age?
Dude, you keep fucking with that jujitsu, probably.
No, dude, jujitsu is here to stretch you out. It's supposed to, you know, move different parts of your body. It jujitsu is good for you, man. It's like partially yoga with chokes and arm locks.
Well, okay. I tell you what, I'd rather do a jujitsu with chokes and arm locks with, if that's the case, then feeling the way I did, because I couldn't do it. I mean, I can't do the whole yoga thing, the jujitsu thing. I don't even like rolling around in the bed, let alone rolling around on a fucking mat.
you never thought about doing Diamond Dallas's DDP yoga?
I did. I actually started to, and he did even you? Had a session. Yeah, he even had a session. He still has a session for people who are the mobility is restricted. And he has routines where I can sit down like I am right now. And a lot of it is pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
You just got to keep doing it.
I just don't have the space.
No, yeah, no. I know.
Yeah, when I started doing DDP, it was at the other house on Manzanas. Here, I don't have the space.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, no. Well, other than that, I'm glad that you're feeling better. Everything over here is stressful. Your first grandchild refuses to wake up at a decent time for her school, so she proceeds to be almost late by two minutes. She barely beats the damn bell.
And now she goes to bed super early.
Yeah, I know. She gets 12 fucking hours of sleep and she's still like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, really? Because I just got 4 hours of sleep, you jerk.
And your mama's still awake from last month.
Exactly. Exactly. And now the new one, she just got her shots yesterday.
Are you serious? How did that go?
They gave her 3 shots, 1 in the left, 2 in the right leg. And she has been up all night. Both of them all night, just up. And I feel bad. Because there's really not much that I can do. And on top of that, because she's feeling sick, the baby, she's spitting up more right now. So my wife will feed her, and then she'll lay her down, and then you'll hear her start to cough, and she's because she's spitting up. Fucking parent life, people. Hey, little ones, you know, teenagers are demographic age that I see all the damn time. If you fuckers plan on having children soon, don't. Grow the fuck up.
Yeah, allow yourself to grow up first. You're going to grow up fast regardless, with or without a child nowadays. But a child is going to put a little something extra on it.
Yeah.
They'll put you through it.
Age range 18 to 22 and 23 to 27. Don't have kids yet. Just wait a little. maybe 23 to 27. No. 26, 29, 28, then you can start having kids. Anything before that, back the fuck.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And actually, real quick, before we get started on the episode, something that we didn't talk about is we lost 3 legends this year in the first month of 2022.
Who was that?
Betty White died the first day. Then Bob Saget. And then Louis Anderson.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Yeah. You want to talk about comedian royalty? That's top 3 right there. Almost top 3, if not, you know, more. That was insane.
Betty White was she never took acting classes. You know that, right?
She was just fucking funny.
Yeah. She was a natural.
She was a legit natural. That's pure raw talent.
Yeah, that's a gift. That's like Rogan. He's a natural speaker.
And
he has never said He's never even spoke about his educational background. The guy just reads and he retains shit. And he's vocal.
Yeah. I can do that kind of, but it has to have like pictures in the on the pages. If it doesn't have pictures, I'm probably no help.
Well, Hustler, Playboy, and Penthouse don't count, son.
Well, they did back then, so booyah. All right, let's get on with the show. I know we're probably boring people right now. So this is the overview, or this is the prologue to the episode. We are traveling back in time to World War II, specifically 1941, the 40s. This is Soviet Union, Russia. This is a story about one, a very powerful woman, like I had mentioned earlier. This story is surrounding a woman and what she did in Russia and in World War II during that time. She was a fighter, which we get to learn some pretty interesting stuff about World War II with women and fighting. And not only that, but she was described as the unseen terror of East Persia.
Iraq, really? Okay.
Yes. So today on Two Guys, One Crime, we are going to discuss the badass woman that no one saw. We are going to talk about Rosa Shania. You ready?
Yeah. She was Russian?
She was Russian.
Oh, okay.
The story starts off like this. Oh, hold on. My sources today. Because I didn't do it last one. My sources today are rarehistoricalphotos.com, allthingsinteresting.com, sandbox.us, Wikipedia, and a few YouTube videos that I will be tagging in the description and in the links below. Rosa Shania is a sister of Mikhail Shania, who was killed in battle. She received the news and wanted to volunteer for the war. Well, before we get started with that story, let's figure out exactly who Rosa was. She was born April 3rd, 1924. And trust me when I say it, this story of this woman is fucking insane. Like people
of her childhood?
Of her childhood, which just all in general. She was very young when she died. But any time before the 50s and 60s was nuts. I mean, even the 50s and 60s were nuts. But she grew up in Leningrad, Russia, which is now St. Petersburg. Her mother was a milkmaid and her father a vet logger. The pair had 7 kids, 2 girls, 5 boys. Rosa was obviously one of the girls. And she was a grade A student. She loved school. That's all she wanted to do. And that's all she wanted to do when she grew up, was to be a teacher. She loved school so much. And this is what I'm talking about, the crazy part, because kids today, even my generation, even before me, probably wouldn't do what she did. She loved school so much that after graduating elementary school, she would walk 10 kilometers to the next town, to Burznik, to her middle school. And if you need help converting that, 10 kilometers is 8 miles.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Like right after school or right after she finished her primary? So
she finished school. She finished primary, her elementary primary school.
Okay.
Graduated. And then the next, her middle school, the secondary school, I guess is what they call it.
Yeah.
She was like, I want to go to this school. And it was 8 miles away. So from wherever you are right now, 8 miles in any direction and walk. And tell me how easy that is for you.
And Vera, I'm sure she did not have comfortable shoes.
And you're in Russia. It's fucking cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very true. she would work at a pigsty with her aunt to help out with the family as well as make a little bit of money. And like going to school, she would walk there. You know how far her aunt lived from her home?
It's got to be longer than the school.
22 kilometers.
Jesus.
That's 14 and a half miles.
She'd walk to school and then walk to work?
She'd walk to her aunt's house. So right. From her house to her aunt's house was 24. From her house to her school was it was eight. 10 kilometers, 8 miles.
Yeah, 8 miles. But she wouldn't do it in the same day. It's impossible. That's a 24-hour walk at least.
Yeah, she would.
Jeez. She must have had a bike or something.
I don't know. This is just what I read. So if anyone wants to fact check me, check out those sources below. This wasn't uncommon in those days. Many people did that, though. They would travel and walk everywhere. If they didn't have a little buggy, you know, mule carriage or whatever, a horse or something.
Or just being lazy.
Or just being lazy. And then in 1938, she's now 14 years old and what some call stubborn, a teenager.
Yeah.
She was about average average height and had piercing blue eyes and a very gorgeous smile that some people had said. Rose's parents refused for her to continue school. You know you're living in poverty if your parents are like, hey, you need to stop going to school and help work with the family.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a learned behavior passed down from their generation above by how many hundreds of years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby boomers screwed up a lot of us. So we know.
Rose's parents, they also wanted her to work and make a living and find a boy to fall in love with and have children.
If I go to school, if I find young men, get married, get naked and wrestle with each other and have more babies. Yes.
Who knows, dude? Who knows?
I think that's probably what would have happened. Her response to this proposal, however, was pretty fucking intense. She said, fuck you, dad. Fuck you, mom. I want to learn things. And then flipped him off and walked home. I walked to school. She was very, very into school.
She's determined. She was passionate. I mean, that's good, especially to know that at 14 years old at any time.
I don't know how to say fuck you, mom and dad in Russian. So that's why I had to say it in English with a somewhat of a shitty Russian accent.
Okay. I'm sure the people will excuse you.
I hope so. She ended up walking over 50 hours to the northern city of, and I apologize for this name, Archangels. Oh, in English, it's Archangel.
All right.
There she lived with her older brother, Fedor Emelianenko. No, that's an old school MMA guy for those who don't know. But she got a student stipend and was able to attend the secondary school for free, 99, and she was set. So for her secondary school, for those who don't know, stipend is basically a scholarship, and she was learning for free.
Agreed.
So like I said, she loves school. She loved school. She loved helping, learning, and knowing more and expanding her mind. I guess you could say like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
That was until June of 1941. Those damn Nazis broke through the USSR's western borders. After that, the economy crashed and Rosa lost access to her free school. Fucking Nazi bastards breaking down walls and stopping her learning time. She must break them.
Yeah, never good.
No. To make some extra cash, she then became a kindergarten teacher. She was 16 years old. No, 17 years old. Excuse me. She was 17 years old and a teacher. So she was teaching kids. Like I said, she loved to learn. So I'm assuming her being a teacher kind of just naturally went right into what she wanted to do. Now, that was just to make extra cash for her living. She then eventually volunteered once for an air raid duty of the school. Basically, what that was, she stood on top of the school roof and made sure that the airplanes from enemy soldiers weren't flying over. And if they were, she would have to then radio or yell out, hey, they're flying over us. They're going to drop bombs or shoot at us or whatever. She volunteered for that. How many people do you know would volunteer for that? Would you even volunteer for that?
No, probably not. Probably not.
So she's pretty badass so far. I mean,
nowadays, back then, who knows what anybody would have done. There wasn't a lot available to people back then, especially in that part of the world.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
So if war was an exit, some sort of war affiliation, you know, she was living large.
She was having fun. She was doing what she wanted to do. Good for her. Yeah. And then December 4th, Rosa learned that two of her five brothers were unfortunately killed in battle by them damn Nazis. That was Mikhail and Fedor, so the older brother that she was living with. Rosa would frequently ask passing soldiers, low-ranking to high-ranking soldiers in the city, if she could actually join the forces with them. Most of them would laugh and tell her that, quote, war is no place for women. Go back home, end quote. However, due to the shortage of men and large casualties, and a high commanding officer of the Red Army agreed to have women join the battle. This is true. Rosa was one of the first to join, along with 10,000 other women. So much like the women of the U.S. in World War II who helped the men, unfortunately, they didn't help overseas. They were actually the ones putting the ships together, the airplanes, the ammo, and the so on and so forth. The difference with this is the women of the Red Army actually joined battle. Like, they saw battlefronts. They saw the worst of the worst. And then June 22nd, 1943. And by this time, Rosa is now 19 years old. She was accepted to the, and again, this is Russian, give me a break. Vesvolchbuch program. She was a butch.
What is it, like a specialty, like a sniper?
Actually, yes.
Oh, it is?
It is. Here
she's a sniper? Actually,
yes. So
holy shit, okay.
She met two people, two other women, Alexandra Sasha Vekovia and Claria Kayla Petrov. The three were called the Vagrant Three. Now, she would write in a diary, which, by the way, this is where the crime comes in, which is hilarious to me. But the crime that she committed on several times was having a diary and writing in that diary of what was happening of her daily life.
Well, back then, I'm sure they considered some sort of spy or espionage.
Espionage, yeah. Yeah. Which makes sense. But it's also kind of funny that they're like, you can't write it in your diary. Now, she would write in her diary, and in one of her entries, she said this, quote, always nice to have a girlfriend. Sasha, I am with you, and sadness is sometimes fun. I share with you all that is my soul. I brought Colonel Nevolshevov my letter, in which I asked to be sent to the front and criticized by our officers, end quote. She wanted to go to the front. She wanted to see battle.
She had drive. She was an ambitious young lady for sure.
Crazy. And then this is where she actually joined. She was one of the first female snipers to join the Sniper Academy in 1944. Around her 20th birthday. How crazy is that? Before we go any further, just the fact that people in their 20s, even right now, but back then in World War II, people in their 20s were going to war.
I'm not surprised at anything. I mean, people were, I mean, hell, just World War II and Vietnam, people were kids and women and young men were signing up to try to be enlisted at 17, 18. And that was 70, 60 years earlier. I'm not surprised. But again, we live in a different time. So who knows what living day to day back then was like. That was probably more of an honor than anything.
Probably. Actually, now, yeah. Now that you put it that way, you're probably right. But she's still...
Or scenes of eating, housing, clothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Medical, dental, it's just, anything.
It's just crazy because people back then lived... it's going to sound funny, but it sounds like, you know, Austin Powers. They lived dangerously. Yeah. It's true. They lived very dangerously. Like, they were very different people fucking now 80 years ago. That was almost 80 years ago.
Yeah. World War One was over 100 years ago.
No, that is 80 years ago. How fucking wild is that? When she went to the Female Sniper Academy, she actually graduated with honors. Now, like I had mentioned before, she was really into school. So learning how to shoot, learning the trajectories, learning the bullet, you know, how to reload a gun, how to disassemble your weapon. That came with ease. Fucking nerd.
Well, the parts weren't as freaking intricate as they are. And have you ever disassembled an AR-17, an AR-15 or a...
Yes, I have. It's very easy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I've never even shot one.
I know I want to buy it, but I've never even shot your uncles or your cousins. I've never shot any since my heart surgery. I've never shot any long arm.
Very easy. Now, Rosa not only graduated with honors, but she had impeccable aim. She was really fucking good at shooting a gun. So much so, the instructors pleaded with Rosa to stay in school, not go to the front, and teach other future female snipers. When this was requested by one of her captains, she got a little aggressive. Rosa grabbed her instructor by the coat, pulled him close, and said, "If you claim to have big balls, that's just an easy target for me."
That's fucking savage, dude. Damn.
She then shoved him by his face and proceeded to walk to her higher ranked officers and wanted to go back to the front. She kept telling them, "I wanted to go to the front and I want to go to the front." By the way, that was a joke, by the way, the big balls.
I'm sure she thought it.
I'm sure she did. That should be written. This should be a movie too.
I'm sure they made this movie in Russia at some point.
They had to have.
Yeah.
But she did refuse to teach. Now, granted, she was great at teaching. She was great at learning, but she wanted to do her part in avenging her brother, the death of her brothers. She wanted to do her part in being something bigger than just a teacher, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But the Soviets enforced that strict rule of not having diaries. It was forbidden to have it, much like you said, it was considered espionage. This is now April 2nd, 1944. Rosa graduated to a commander of the 184th Rifle Division.
Wow.
Commander.
Impressive.
3 days after, she got her first confirmed kill. Can you imagine that?
No, dude. And those firearms were fucking... You might as well be shooting a log. They were heavy. They were solid wood.
Yeah. Solid wood and like damn near steel.
Yeah.
If it wasn't steel. But she was also able to get recognition from a local newspaper. She told the press, quote, "Finally, in the evening, a German soldier showed up in the trench. I estimated the distance of the target and was over 400 meters. That's about a quarter of a mile. A suitable distance is what she said. When the Fritz went on the Fritz, keeping his head down, went toward the woods, I fired. But from the way he fell, I knew I had not killed him. For about an hour, the fascist laid in the mud, not daring to move. Then he started to crawl. I fired again, and this time I did not miss.
In the dark?
End quote. Yeah.
Damn.
Can you imagine being that guy getting hit and was like, oh, fuck. Okay, don't move. Don't move. All right, I'm good.
Any of them. Any
For
soldier.
For an hour.
Yeah, he sat not there. Seeing anything.
And the fucking sniper was like, please just move an inch. I fucking dare you. Move. In shock, she collapsed into her trench and said multiple times, I've just killed a man. I've just killed a man. I just killed a man. The following month, Rosa received the Order of Glory, which is the Russian Medal of Honor. She was so good at shooting, she was known for her double hits.
You mean shooting them twice?
No. Yes, sorry. Shooting them twice in quick succession.
Yeah, because that's a bolt action rifle.
Right. So she'd fire Holy once, shit. Clack, 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 pow, and do it again.
Jeez.
If anyone, yeah, if, for those who don't know what a bolt rifle is, a bolt rifle, you get, there is a lever on the gun that you have to lift, pull back towards your shoulder to empty the cartridge or the for those bullet,
the round,
the yeah. round, push it back forward and then lock it back into place to then aim with a scope and shoot again. She did it so fast that she got recognized for shooting people and killing them for literally going 1, 2, 3, 4 in a matter of milliseconds.
And I don't think their scopes were very high in.
No, they don't have
as far
light
as
vision or thermal.
As far as even magnifying, I don't think they had a magnifying power of more than what, maybe 3, 4, if that. Who knows? I just know
you 4 times the normal sight, if that.
Yeah.
But during her time in the front, she was actually very upset. The leading officers kept putting Rosa in the back, which was assigned to women. The Soviet policy was designed to have women stay in the back, men fight in the front, which is why she was a sniper. They didn't want her at the front and taking the bullets and taking all of that fire right away. They wanted her to stay back and take out, you know, the nests, as they're called, or the people.
The other sniper.
Yeah, the other sniper, the other people in the trenches. They wanted her back, and she was like, fuck that, dude. I want to run into their titties blazing and just fuck someone up. It happened so frequently that Rosa would eventually go AWOL.
She did?
She went AWOL. She couldn't stand sitting around waiting to kill Nazis, and she would eventually, before coming back, she went AWOL, killed a couple more, and then they took her back because obviously they need fucking soldiers in World War II. She would run up to the front of the line to increase her tally of, quote, dead little Hitlers. That's what she called them. Dead little Hitlers.
Can you imagine their stories they tell in their part of the world?
Fuck no.
I mean,
wait, who? The Germans or the Russians?
Just say Russian, how Russians are explaining their life. I mean, we're reading a story about it, but can you imagine her, you know, personal experiences, and she might be doing a commentating, you know, just what she's seen. And we hear about it on TV all the time, about a soldier, what they've done. And, you know, it makes us look like superheroes.
Yeah,
we have the best of everything. Can you imagine them, you know? Didn't have the technology, obviously, but how they lived through it, how they went through war.
No,
it's minimal.
I honestly can't. No, I really can't. I wish I could, but just hearing the crazy shit that she did, like, I'm picturing it in my head as if it was like a TV show or a movie. Like, I can, you know, get the feel like that, but to personally be there and having fucking bullets or shrapnel just whiz by your face, barbed wire, razor wire, the mud, the cold in your lungs, the wetness everywhere, your clothes are drenched in either blood, sweat, tears, water from rain.
Yeah.
Fuck no, dude.
No.
No.
I couldn't do it.
Now, according to Magor Degtrevev,
just say his first name.
Magor Degtrevev's, a reporter. And
just say, according to a reporter,
a reporter and a commander over Rosa, between April 6th and April 11th of 1944, she had shot and killed 13 enemy soldiers while under fire from artillery and machine gun fire.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, like I just said, no.
Can you imagine how cold, not cold as far as temperature, just the how emotionless she probably had no emotion.
She couldn't.
She probably just was a distant stare.
Yeah, no, yeah. She couldn't. There's no way. There's no way that she could have been like, oh, man, I hope this guy doesn't have family. She was like, no, fuck that guy and his family, and just popped him twice.
Just in anybody. Just can you imagine what she felt like walking through, knowing what her purpose was to do?
I'm sure she felt ballsy.
Oh, I'm sure every soldier, everybody who's gone through that. But what's that term? War as hell.
War as hell, yep. By May, then the following month, her kill count raised up to now 17. She killed 4 more people. The following month of June 9th, a Soviet newspaper, which, here we go again, Unchergvizium Varaga, yeah,
Russian Soviet newspaper
reported and featured Rosa on the front page. She was posing with her guns, which you can find this newspaper clipping and everything about her. When you see her, she is very beautiful. White, you know, a younger white woman, blonde hair, blue eyes, very beautiful woman that you would never, like, she's not like some crazy Russian woman with like a fucking wonky missing eye and a hunchback like a fucking savage. No, she's a beautiful fucking woman.
like the mom from Goonies.
Exactly. Exactly. No, that was not her. By September 1944, Rosa has now killed 5 more Nazi soldiers. That's going up to 20, what is that? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 Nazi soldiers that she has killed so far. She became famous in the Soviet newspapers and being dubbed the Red Army Girl. Headlines read, one cartridge, one fascist. Another called her the Unseen Terror of East Persia. Another, a tall, slender sniper with smiling eyes. Like, if you were to look at her, you're like, wow, this is a very beautiful young woman. I don't think anybody would have expected her to be taking heads off. This is also why there's so many pictures of her today, is because she was featured in these articles holding her.
Yeah, I want to look now, but I don't want to look during the story.
Yeah. She was holding her rifles, looking through the sights of the rifles, smiling, etc. Like you said earlier, they appear to be superhuman to people like you and I, people who are not soldiers. So she is, without a doubt, only human. Now, like most young adults, specifically in her age, emotions would get involved. More than just a badass sniper, she was a young woman without love. And again, back in those days, it was almost not a rite of passage, but, you know, women were expected to be married, to have children, and to do everything.
No, I would say, yeah, that's expected then. Nowadays, it's not expected.
No.
And that's same as being, you know, considerate or cancel. Is that cancel culture or something like
that?
Yeah,
cancel culture.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. I just know that you couldn't. It's not expected for a woman to fall in love.
And then on October 10th, 1944, she wrote in another entry of her diary, quote, "I blame this scum that comes with army life, wrecking everything, not caring about a girl, friends, and the occasional boyfriend, only to lose many of them in battle. I remember Misha Pardian. What a guy. Killed. He loved me. I know. I loved him. I felt very sorry for him." End quote.
Hey, that's a human emotion. That's genuine.
She also had another sad entry in her diary. Quote, "Frost in the tank. Unaccustomed to the tank smoke. And it hurts my eyes. I can't breathe these fumes. Slept like the dead. I'm finally sure I'm not capable of love." End quote.
That's brutal, dude. That's brutal.
That's torturous for a young woman. A young woman.
Let's just say a person. Can you imagine having to go through life if you...
Yeah, but imagine her right now. Like I said, back in that time, right? Just put yourself in that time, not even just being her, but any woman for that matter around that time. It was expected of you to do certain things.
And I don't think I could put myself in anybody's situation, let alone remembering what the hell I went through. And it wasn't nearly as bad. It wasn't even bad as a kid. But doing that at 14?
No.
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 Starting at 14, I should say.
And yeah, no, I wouldn't be able to do that at all. By now, this is 1945. By now, she is in her early 20s, still 22, I believe. By January 16th, she claimed to have, quote, "an unseen force pulling her to the front of battle," end quote. She followed that with the entry of, "Melee combat does not discourage me." She was ready to fucking go throw hands.
She's just black. She's just, there's nothing in front of her but black.
And again, when you see her face and you are listening to these and reading these entries, you wouldn't think this is coming from the same person. By the following day, two more entries were made. It says, "It seems our journey may be ending soon. Most of the battalion have perished. 72 of the 78, to be exact."
She's one of six that survived.
One of six.
Whoa. Damn. Jeez, dude. That is... That's kind of sad, but... War is hell.
War is hell. And another entry that she says, "Today for me seemed like a month. Nearly vomited out all of my body parts, bandaged the wounds and moved on. Frost, hunger. Went into a unit. The guys threw some filthy compliments my way. Filthy language everywhere." Again, we say between you and I, you know, people who come back from war, these guys are men and women are people, are like superheroes. They do shit that we can't even fathom. We can't even think of. But we're still human. Mm-hmm. People are people and people are sick. They're using filthy language to a colleague. Meanwhile, the fucking, what's more than 3/4, way more than your battalion's gone and dead. You're probably covered in one of your buddy's blood and you see a woman there and you're like, "Oh, let me see your fucking tits," yeah, or something.
Anything derogatory. Yeah.
Sick.
A guy is still a guy.
Guy is still a guy. Just a few days later, on January 24th, she wrote to the commander of the regiment, "He grabbed me like a street hooker outside of a brothel." The same day, a drunken soldier forced himself on her and kissed her. There's six people left. And all these fucking dudes can think of is sex. Which, to a point, I can somewhat understand. But I would much rather get my life than go have sex.
Well, they probably are living. This could be that, this just could be it. I might not be alive after this. I may not be alive after this. I might not be, you know, who knows? Whatever the circumstances put them in that frame of mind and why they treated her that way. Hell, they probably, they probably don't even know that she's probably saved their lives at some point.
Probably. And then on June 27th, 1942, while on patrol of their area, the six of the six soldiers that are remaining, two of the six soldiers that are remaining, went on patrol and discovered two bodies in a field. One of the bodies was disemboweled. Its chest was blown open from a large explosion. It was assumed either a grenade or a landmine had taken this person out. This person was Rosa.
Oh, female.
Yes. She was protecting her fellow soldier from gunfire. The two patrolmen brought Rosa back to the med tent. By the following day, Rosa was pronounced dead. I'm surprised they didn't pronounce her dead that following day, the day prior, with a huge hole in her chest. As I had mentioned in the beginning of this, Rosa racked up a total of 59 confirmed kills, making her one of the deadliest snipers of the Red Army. Just one. There are multiple, but she was one of them with 59. First Soviet female sniper to be awarded the Order of Glory. Like I said earlier, that was similar to the Medal of Honor for us. Rosa was buried with full military honors in Zenich, Kaliningrad, Oblast, Russia, on the bank of the Lena River. Three streets in the city of Russia are named after her. A village in Yidma has a museum dedicated strictly to Rosa, and a local school where she studied in 1931 to 1935 has a commemorative plate of her history. And to this day, her legacy looms large in Russia.
Jeez. I like the story.
Interesting, huh?
I really do. Yeah, that's.
And like I said,
don't like the outcome.
I would love the
better ending, but.
Yeah, me too. Trust me. But like I said, that was her crime throughout this whole thing. But a pretty interesting, silly crime of not having a diary.
I get it. Now it's obviously, you know, it's probably, what do you call that? It's probably not looked as a crime. It's probably historical.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably historical. So, wow, that was good.
Liked it?
Yeah, I just, you know, I like stories where, you know, people take women for granted because of their gender.
Yeah.
They're not weak. They're not weak at all.
At all. There's some strong women, man.
Mentally, there's guys, I know guys that are weaker. And met them, know of them. People are emotional. They're just people. But when, like I said, we were taught to believe women were the weaker of the two, male, female. And it's proven. It's going to continue to get proven.
Oh, yeah.
That they were just as equal, if not stronger in many ways. But yeah. I'm not misogynist. I might be ignorant, but I will give props to where they are well deserved.
All the time.
She was a badass.
She was badass. She was awesome. But yeah, I was going through Instagram and I found this picture of a beautiful young woman. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then read up on the story and I was like, I'm talking about this. But yes, thank you everybody for stopping by. Thank you everybody for listening and or watching. Thank you for coming back. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. We will have more like it if you like it. And we will have a lot more crimes to be talking about as well. Big Jim has a few stories that he's going to be talking about soon. So get
more audio, more audio. I'm not good with video shit. So it's going to be strictly audio from me.
Yeah. They will be just him He wanted to do it with just his voice, so he'll be doing some solo episodes pretty soon.
The reason, not because it you're going back to work. You're going back to work. You got the babies, your wife, yeah, everything. So your life is going to get a little bit more hectic.
Yep. Yeah. My 6 weeks of freedom is up.
Yeah. So it's going to get a little bit more challenging for him, but we're going to continue on doing what we're doing. So
keep on keeping on.
Yep.
So thank you everybody for listening. Please head over to our flow page, flow.page/2guys1crime. There you can find all of our links, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the whole nine. You can come interact with us. You can also follow us on Twitch. We also have a Twitch channel now. There we will be going live certain times. We will be doing live episodes a little more frequently now. I think we should do that.
That's probably when you're going to have time to do a recording. We're just going to have to do it spontaneous.
Yeah, right there on the spot. Yeah. And I think that would be really fun. And then we can upload it, you know, both video and audio. So that would be really fun. I think that's about all I got. You have anything else?
No. I just want to let everybody know things are going to be changing a little bit as they have been, but for a positive reason. And we're just trying to get back to adapting to life before podcasting.
Yeah. Until the next crime. We'll talk to you later.
Now, it's not very long ago.
Oh God, that's insane.
It's not.
That's insane.
Look, dude, you were born at the beginning of the Iraqi wars. I was born in the middle of Vietnam.
That's fucking nuts. Yeah, yeah. When you were born, that was only 30 years prior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know. I know.
Finally, in the evening of German AE, quote, she was she kind of in a way, this might be a stretch, but she looked like Sharon, the one that got killed by what's his name's family? Charles Manson. Sharon Tate. Yeah, Sharon Tate. Yeah.
Especially if they're non-binary. So it's not expected for anything to fall in love or anybody.
Very true. Well, look at you knowing your pronouns.
Oh, dude, I have two grandbabies that are growing up. I got to learn how to talk like them. And they're females. Oh, and they're young
people.
People.